Seems like I haven't been up here for a while to speak with you, but today we're kind of continuing on a little bit with who we are in Christ, and today we're going to talk about our significance. Believe it or not, each of you are significant, and you are special, and that's how God sees you, and that's how He'll present it. But I have to ask for one favor. Jimmy, could you go over and get me a styrofoam cup and bring it back? No, I already got most of the equipment up here, so yeah, thank you. Today we want to begin with Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. We'll have numerous verses here today. It's also up here. And we'll be using both. Before I begin, let us pray. Father God, we come here today to meet with You and to meet with our brothers and sisters. And right now, God, we're going to do some focusing on You and what You would like to speak to us. We thank You that You have revealed to us Your Word and Your truth. God, not so we can just gain knowledge, but so that we can apply it to our lives, to others' lives, God, and be transformed, to be changed, to be new. So, God, we're asking that You would make our hearts soft. God, that You would help us to know and understand, and then go forth from here, change people, more like You, Jesus. Come and visit with us today, God, our Father, our King, our Lord. We ask of You, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. First of all, you are special, you are significant. Some of you are like, yeah, I know it. Others are like, I don't think so. Okay? Wherever you're at, you know, you need a little bit of humbleness or you need a little bit of encouragement. We need to come with a good understanding of where the Lord wants you to be. The first of all is that you are significant and special because you are created by God. Not only are you created by God, but you have the image of God. Some of you are like, whoa, no way. Some are like, okay, I can see a little bit of that. But that's what the Word says. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Okay? You're not created by that cosmic goo. We don't take some mud, some water, hope lightning hits it, and boom. You know, we begin some type of cellular function, and you come out millions of years later. No. You are created by God, not cosmic goo. Okay? You're not created by cosmic chance. God intended for you to be created. Okay? He was intentional about that. You do not have a purpose. You have a purpose. Okay? God is very clear about that. And that purpose is beyond yourself. Your purpose is just not for you and yourself and to get what you want for your own pleasure and gain. Your purpose is for a higher purpose, and God has that in His mind. The other thing is that when we see, look at your neighbor real quick, when we look at your neighbor, the person around you, okay, they are not just there and existing for your gain and for your pleasure and purpose. Okay? That is not the whole purpose of that. That God created that person, and if it's in the image of God and we know who God is, then we look at them and we see them with people that we honor, people that we respect, and people that we love, no matter who they are. Men, when you look at women, however that may be, you should be looking at them with honor and respect and with a godly love. I don't care what you think about President Obama, that's how you should look at him. Okay? A criminal, in the same way. We're not talking about trust, we're not talking about, oh, this is all good, but to respect and honor, to love that person. Some of you are like, no way. But because they are created in the image of God, that's how we see them. You know, I was even looking, my little girl just got Barbie from Grandpa and Grandma. Barbie was laying on the breakfast table. I'm looking at Barbie going, man, Barbie, you know. But if you know someone who's a Barbie, they are created in the image of God. And we love and honor and we respect them. Okay? Some of us, that's hard for us to do. Whether they be an Einstein or a Barbie, we see them in the same way. It says in the Bible that of all the animals and all the created things, the Bible says that only you as a human being were created in the image of God. Of all the animals and created things, the Bible says that He breathed His Spirit into you. And so again, you are directly connected. When you look in the mirror, okay? You like what you see or don't like what you see, the fact is, there's a piece or a part of God, the image of God, looking back at you. And so you don't look in the mirror and like, oh yeah, that's good. I can worship that. And you don't worship the creation. You say, that is good. And the one who made that is good. And I worship that creator who has created me. You can begin to understand the mindset and why this is very special and significant for you to understand that you were created by God and in the image of God. Number two. Thank you, David. You were saved by God. In Christ. Maybe like we talk about this a lot of time. This is very important for you to understand. The Bible is clear that in Romans 5:10, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? We are saved in His life. We are saved from sin. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. If you have accepted and received that, Him, what He has done, you are saved. You're created by God in the image of God. You are saved and you are in Christ. The third part of you being significant, and this is where we're going to talk a lot today, is the fact that you are a work of God. You are a work of God. Ephesians 2:8-10 first talks about the salvation part, about that grace that was poured out to us. Praise the Lord. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not by your own works so that you can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You're a work of God. He didn't create you just to get some cool kicks. Oh, look at him. Now look what I created. He didn't, just save you to express His power. He wants you to be all that you can be as a work of God. And this brings praise and glory to God. In this part, after you are saved, He is moving you into the other S. You all remember that other S, right? Saved and sanctified. It's a big Christian word, to be made holy or become more like Christ. And part of that sanctification is living in the real world, and as you live in the real world, you are a workman. You are expressing the way God has created you and the way God has saved you, and you're going to be rubbed the wrong way, and it's going to see how do you react. Okay? Are you living as that workman of God? Now, this word for workman, and then it goes on that you were not only a workman, but you were created to do good works. And as we talk about doing good works, it's sort of like you are a business opportunity. That might sound a little extreme. But God is employing you. And we come to the thought, well, why does God even need me? But the fact is, whether we like it or not, He has chosen to work with His creation. Can God use me? Yes, He can. Can God use you? Yes, He will. There are many things that you will say, I don't want to do. But if we listen and obey, He can use you. We go through and we look at this different word and we see different ways in which this word is used. You, a workman created in Christ to do good works. First is in John 4:34. We see this word used. And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." The fact is, God is going to send you just like He sent Jesus. John 20:21 says, and again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." To be sent. We get this Latin word, mission. That each of you have a mission. You are sent, just like Jesus was sent, for a purpose, for a work, and so you are significant. Not only that, we see another way that this word is used in Acts 13:2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to do which I've called them." Yes, they are set apart and they are called. Some of you need to get ready because you will be set apart and you will be called. And this is the way the Lord works. You are significant. He has a purpose for you. Again, in John 14:12, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." This next part really just kind of wows me. Says, "And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father." The disciples, you and I, doing greater works than Jesus. Are you ready? Do you believe that you can do greater works than Jesus? Are you ready to be that workman that he wants to use? Goes on in 5:16, and we're going to look at this a little bit more. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This talks about you, those works that you do, that I am significant, I have a purpose, therefore I will do this, and that significance and purpose is to shine my light, to be a witness so that I can get all the glory. Thank you. No. No. No, it's not for me. It's so that the Father in heaven, God, gets all the glory. And that's where our focus needs to be. It's like the understanding of the potter who shapes the pottery. See, do I have a picture of that, David? And the potter shapes the pottery. And as he shapes it, he shapes us. And as we are shaped, he is shaping us. He has created us, saved us, and sanctified us to do good works for his glory and for his kingdom. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." A workman. A person who presents ourselves to God. Whether you're a garbage collector, whether you're a hairdresser, whether you're an engineer, a lawyer, a pastor, we are to understand in my area that I am working, I have a significance, a purpose, and a goal which I need to accomplish. You're significant, number one, because you are created in the image of God. Number two, because you are saved. Number three, because you are a work, a piece of work. Okay? God is going to use that piece of work. Now, we're going to look real quick at, thank you, David. You're a little salty, you're a light, and you're a witness. Okay, let's read this together, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. Okay, stop, turn to your neighbor. You are the salt of the earth. Okay, let's read on. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Now, when I read this, I was asking myself, how does salt lose its saltiness? Okay. How does salt lose its saltiness? And I need three volunteers real quick. All right. Nick, come on up. Sorry, William, their hands went up fast. Okay, I need you men to stand over here. Okay, stand in a row, first, second, third, however. Okay? Now, when we talk about this, one way that salt can lose its saltiness is through dilution, right? We know that word from chemistry, to dilute something. So we have different amounts of water, okay? We're going to fill that one a little bit. This half full. And this all the way to the top. Okay, thank you. Okay, I need you guys to stare forward and not look at my experiment. Only the congregation. Okay, so we're putting different amounts. We're going to put the same amount of salt in each one. Okay. We're going to pour it in there. Trying to get the same amount here. And I'm going to stir them up. Okay. Hey! Christopher! Okay. That did not... Now my dilution process is not going to work so well because I had a different amount. Okay. Here, close your eyes. Hold on, Troy. I got to get yours mixed up here. Okay, now take a sip of that. Just... take a little sip and see what you got. Okay, not too bad, right? Oh yeah, you can spit it back in, I'm sorry. Okay, salty? Yeah? Super salty? Oh man, okay. Experiment did not work out too much because too much fell in that last one. Thank you. Too much. Let's give him a hand. Okay. But the idea is that the more water you have, the more diluted the salt will come. And then it loses its saltiness. And the whole thing about that is when we talk about that in chemistry, is that we're losing its potency. We're losing its power. Okay. The other thing that salt has a purpose, and when you dilute it out, it loses its purpose. Okay? So this salt, as you dilute it out, all of a sudden starts to lose its purpose. And if we were to get a larger bucket and put the same amount of salt in, it would begin to lose its purpose. Now, what are the purposes of salt? One is flavor. Can you imagine going to McDonald's and getting some French fries? No salt. Okay? Wouldn't taste about. What about a xian dan? Or a xie? Is it xie? Xie dan? Xie dan. Xian dan. Salty egg. If you didn't have the salt, wouldn't be a salty egg. Okay? It has to have that purpose of having flavor. The other purpose is to do what? Preserve food. Okay? Especially back in the old days when they didn't have refrigeration, they would take food, they would add salt, and it would preserve it. That means to stop it from rotting. One good example of that I heard was a devotional book that I was reading by Dennis Kinlaw out of Asbury College. He was the president there. And he was sharing about how as a young boy, one of his purposes that his mom and dad gave him was to salt the ham. Okay, does everybody understand what a ham is? From the pig. Okay, the back two legs. Okay? Sometimes I wonder, you know, what is that? That's what it is. Now, what he had to do is he had to go and take salt. And he would have to rub that salt all over that cut up ham. He would have to rub it and try to get it deep down into it. Well, after one fall, the ham was there in the meat house, and it went to spring. Spring came along, and his mom went to the meat house, and he called back, "Dennis! Dennis!" Dennis, as the obedient young child, came quickly to the mother's side, and she said, "Check that ham." Rolled the ham over, and a putrid smell came out with white lines wiggling in the ham. Maggots. Maggots. The ham was ruined. First thing that came to Dennis's mind was not enough salt. What do you do with that ham? You throw it out. You take the whole ham and you throw it out because it's ruined. It becomes worthless. And this is a bit of what Jesus is saying and connecting it to. If the salt loses its purpose and it's not doing the job, if it's diluted too much, what good is it? How about for us in our own life? God has created us, He has saved us, He has sanctified us, and He says, "You are a work of mine to do good works. You are significant in this way." In what ways have you diluted your life? In what ways have you lost your potency and power for the Lord? And so, just life begins to go on. Sometimes things get ruined. I think different things that dilute us, I have three thoughts. One is fear. Fear dilutes our saltiness. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure. Fear of man. One of the worst things that we don't like is we don't like to be rejected. When we go to share something of a good nature, we don't want people to reject us. When we go to share Jesus, we don't want to be rejected. But the fact is, unless we begin to share and see people being without Jesus and without having that life, that rejection could be even worse in the future. I picture it as a door that right now Jesus has opened to all. And when we knock, He will open. When we call on His name, but one day that door will go shut. And for those who do not know Christ, that door is forever shut. That sound of that door slamming shut, we on one side, others on the other side, without that eternal life, without that life and life to the fullest. We don't want to hear that sound. We don't want to be diluted out by fear. Not only does fear dilute our saltiness, but I think also sin dilutes our saltiness and our effectiveness, our power and our purpose. The reason God has created us. Sin comes from disobedience when we know God's Word. And sin can work on us over time. And it makes us dull. And we begin to give into it over and over again. Even knowing that it's pulling us in the wrong direction. This past 2 weeks, my mom and dad came down. They've been helping me put in a tile floor. And we've had to cut this thing called Hardy Backer board. It's a concrete board that makes the foundation of the tile firm. We've been using this jigsaw. Get this baby plugged in somewhere, show you how it works. But it has this little blade that goes down. And this blade, after cutting piece of Hardy Backer board and Hardy Backer board over and over again. I like power tools, so I'll plug this in. Goes up and down like this. Cuts the board. Well, after so much of that, the blade becomes dull. That's very much like sin in our life. Just over and over again. And pretty soon we become dull. What do you do with a dull blade? You could sharpen it. Good. What else do you do? Get rid of the old one, or at least make a change and get a new one, or sharpen the old blade. When sin is in your life and it's making you dull, when you're losing your power and your purpose, you need to make a change. In the spiritual, biblical terms, we call that repentance. To make a change. To get sharp again. Now, we lose our saltiness, we lose our power and potency because we fear and because we sin. But the reason we fear and sin, I believe, is the third reason why we are so diluted. Because we lack a love for Jesus. A passion for Jesus. An intimate relationship. We know the emotions. We go to church at 10. We sit in this chair. We stand, we sing, we sit down. Got it covered. But outside these doors is where we really meet the world. Do we love Jesus? However that is. In what you watch and what you say. That's a challenge for each of us. Do we sing praise songs at home? Do we have verses that are dear to our heart? When we pray, is it a prayer that is of a relationship of a deep nature? Or if it's the one that's on the surface? To be deeply in love with Christ. We see it from different things that we've read or heard. For me, I remember the book by Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. All that me as a piece of work, my purpose for Him. I met my wife. She always had a spark and a sparkle, a fire in her heart. That's why I loved her. For Jesus. And she continues to have that. She's the one that taught me the phrase, all of Kurt for all of Jesus. You put your name in that. You can't have my wife, but you can have that slogan, okay? Put your name in there. When Peter came before the Lord after he had denied him three times at the end, what was Jesus asking him? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He asks each of us that question. Do you have a passionate, intimate love for me? Because if you don't, you will become diluted. Fear will take over your life. Sin will begin to conquer you. And you will lose your saltiness, your power, your purpose for the Lord. And so you begin to question your significance and who you are. And you begin to fill that with the things of the world, thinking that's how I will be significant. That's how I will get my purpose and my power. And the Lord is calling you, come back to me. Come back to me. And so we take that blade and we change it. We sharpen it. We begin to follow the Lord again. The other portion of this is about the light. And I'm going to have to stop today because of time, so I won't go into the light part. But next week I get to share about an episode where we had a fire at my house. Okay? Fire at my house. So come next week to hear that. Mom and Dad already know the story. It was their house, so. Come next week. What I'd like us to do is, I'm going to have Dan just come on up and play some guitar. Dan's still here? Yeah, he's over there. Dan's going to play a little bit of a chord progression. Us, the light of the world. Can't see that too well, but you can see it through it. I'd just like us to bow our heads right now before the Lord. Just to ask Him where we're at. A dilutedness? Are we still salty? Are we living in a fear? Why is that, Lord? Is there a sin that just comes back over and over again? Have I lost my passion, my love for the Lord? Lord Jesus, give us more of You. God, we don't need more of the world anymore. We need more of You. God, there's a few here today that when they look in the mirror, when they think of themselves, they don't see themselves created by God or in the image of God. God, I ask that You would heal their hearts. That You would speak deep into their souls. That they are created in the image of God. Some here may have not made a decision yet to follow You, Jesus. They are not saved. God, call them home. Call them closer to You. Lord, begin to reveal to us our significance. That you have created us as a workman in Christ for good works which you prepared long before. Give us a deeper love for you, Lord. Today, God, we just say we love you. We exalt you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.